Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Drew Henderson with the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. Drew, thanks so much for being with us today.
It's my pleasure, and thank you for the opportunity to be on your program.
Now, I'm familiar with the Osher Group, of course, but some of our listeners may not be. The organization is an inclusive group, and they want to help adults over the age of 50 to kind of rediscover the joy of learning and building community through social interaction. Obviously, that's changed a little bit since the pandemic. It looks a little differently, but the organization is trying to make sure that that mission continues. It's not like traditional schooling where there's homework and tests and grades. Mostly it's just having experiences together and then discussing those experiences and really plugging in, making new friends, experiencing new things. And Drew, tell us a little bit about why that's important.
We know that two of the important things, especially as people get older, is to make sure that they stay involved in growing both intellectually and socially, keeping your mind active and being involved and active with other people. And that's two of the things that we strive for within this group, is to, in normal times, get people together so that they get out of the house and are active and involved, but also to learn new things and talk with people and even maybe share some of their own things. So, you know, those are some of the things that we're hoping to achieve through this program.
Now let's talk about the organization specifically. I mean, when you hear Osher, you probably don't know where it comes from. I mean, who oversees this organization and where does the money come from?
Well, the organization, there's kind of two avenues there. One, the University of Kentucky has had a lifelong learning program for a long time, long before they became part of the Osher program. And then, I don't know how many years ago, probably at least 20 or so, a gentleman by the name of Bernard Osher, with a great interest in lifelong learning for older people, created a foundation, the Osher National Foundation, to start setting up and creating lifelong learning institutes around the country. And they did this by providing, if you could hit a certain number of membership, they would provide some significant money as a grant to help long-term continue with the program. And UK became part of this program quite some time ago. So they've received at least one and maybe two endowments from the organization to help provide the funding, long-term funding for this. When it was initially set up with the out of UK, they created two satellite campuses, one in Morehead and one in Somerset. The one in Somerset, for whatever reason, wasn't viable, but the one in Morehead continued on and is still doing rather well today because a lot of the efforts of a number of people like Bob Lindahl and Carol Lafferty and Russ Bringleman and Bob Gruninger and others. The program is, we are a member of the Ollie at UK program, and they have an office with several staff and are overseen by Lisa Higgins Ford at UK.
Now, it is so important to offer these classes to this particular demographic. How many people usually participate in these classes?
Well, in our open house last year, at this time last year, we actually had our best year from a membership perspective. We had close to 120 members. We had been hovering somewhere between 80 to a little over 100. So, you know, before the pandemic came along and threw us a curveball, things were continuing to grow and we were doing rather well. The UK program has, before this, I think they were well over 1,200 members just in the UK branch of the Ollie at UK program.
Now, last year at this time, we discussed the program and how exciting it was, and then the pandemic hit. And I know that signups for this year's spring classes is scheduled for next week, but it's going to have to look a lot different than in years past. So tell us a little bit about the program, or the process that your organization has been going through in order to prepare for offering these classes in a pandemic.
Okay. As far as registration, we used to do an open, we normally do an open house, and that's just not feasible right now. So we do online registration. We've sent out catalogs. Most people should have received them before Christmas, so that they know the process to go through and what courses are available. And the people in the UK office, I think, have done a wonderful job in preparing this program, the catalog. And people can also sign up for classes that are offered out of the Lexington program. Pretty much everything we're doing right now is via Zoom, which brings its own challenges. Some people just absolutely do not want to do it that way. And so that's impacted some of the classes we can offer and the number of participants. And it's also caused us to change how we do some of the classes. For example, Russ Bringelman always did a classic movie class, where we would all get together at the library and watch a movie and then have a conversation about it. And that's just not feasible. So we've modified that a little bit into a TV talk where in the pro week pri prior to the class, we all watch a movie or a documentary or whatever, and then we get together and talk about it. Last fall, we did, I think we did exclusively the classic movies that are shown on KET because that's a platform that everyone has access to. And so, we're going to do something similar to that this time. Some of the classes have gone pretty well. We have a great decisions class that has worked, I think, very well through Zoom meetings. We can't do as many lecture stuff because people, even the instructors, find it kind of challenging to do without the feedback of the audience. I think a similar issue that perhaps some faculty have where they don't get the feedback from their students to know, are they getting it? But we have a few people who have moved on with the Zoom stuff and are doing rather well. Like Fran Helfenstein is doing a Shakespeare class. She did one last fall and she's doing another this spring. And that's been very well received. And I think her format has worked well with the Zoom meetings.
I'm a big fan of Fran's.
Well, she's a lovely lady.
Yes, she really is. I had her for class when I was an undergrad and have always appreciated her approach to education. Now, let's talk a little bit about how people are going to be signing up for spring classes. Obviously, they need to make some contact with the organization. So, how do they go about getting started?
Well, if they receive one of the catalogs, they can go. All the information in there is in there that you need to be able to go through the process. If you're not a member or you've misplaced your catalog or you're still having problems, you can call the OLLI at UK office, and the number is 859-257-2656. And the people there will be more than happy to help anyone go through that process of registering. If they don't have an account, they can help them set one up. But if the people prefer to go through and do web stuff directly, they can go to the OLLI UK website, and the self-registration process, I think, is pretty straightforward there. But again, if you have any problems, you can call that number for the OLLI UK office.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this. And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Drew Henderson to talk a little bit about the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute classes that are happening this spring. Signups for those classes begins next week, but we kind of wanted to give everyone a little preview of what's happening. Every semester, there are some repeating classes, like you and I have talked about in the past, and then there are some new classes. First of all, let's talk a little bit about some of the oldie but goodies, those classes that everyone really enjoys that are coming back this semester.
Okay. One of the classes that has always been one of our most popular classes has been a traveling around the world class. Kind of like basically like a travelogue. People will come in and share pictures that they've taken on their trips and from anywhere in the world. We've hit all the continents, including Antarctica. We've had two people talk about their trips to there. So we're continuing to do that. Obviously, a little bit of a format change, but it seems to be working fairly well. In the past, Sarah Kano was the one who started this class and for many years was the facilitator of it, going through the process of finding people to present and making sure everything was ready for them. And since we've moved to Zoom, she was a little uncomfortable with going that route. So Linda Hornick has stepped up and is fulfilling that facilitator role. So that's one of our most popular classes. And this year we've got going everywhere from Montana to the Dominican Republic to Hawaii to Central Asia, Belize, China, and a nature tour. So again, that has always been one of our most popular classes and probably our best attended Zoom class. Some of the other classes that continue on, the SIGs, the shared interest groups, Great Decisions that Bob Lindahl facilitates, has been very well attended in the past and continues to be well attended through Zoom. And we're continuing that again this spring with the new workbooks that the Foreign Policy Association puts out. Karen Roberts is continuing to facilitate a nonfiction book SIG. That's always been a smaller group, and it continues. I think they've maybe lost one or two people because of Zoom, but they seem to be still doing pretty well. And those are primarily the classes that we've carried over from our traditional learning mechanism into the Zoom mechanism.
Right. It's so interesting to me. I was one of those individuals who was very hesitant to try new technology. I was not a fan. I didn't like to try to figure out how to do it. It made me feel like I was not smart, and I do not like feeling that way. And trying to figure out Zoom when the pandemic began, I was like, I don't like it. What buttons are there? It's almost like a lot of people are forced, because of the pandemic, we're forced. It's like we don't have any other options. If you want to participate in the community, you have to figure this out. But is your organization helping with making that happen and opening that avenue to people who may also be hesitant to technology?
Yeah. There's a person, I can't remember who it is right offhand, out of the Lexington group, who most Fridays will do a presentation online to help people learn how to use Zoom, whether they're a class member or whether they're an instructor or facilitator, to help make that work. And of course, the Zoom has a lot of tutorials on their website people can go to. But it has been a challenge. Most of the people who have continued to connect and do things with the program or those who are pretty comfortable with technology anyway. Those who are hesitant or are worried about going into something that they have no familiarity with at all have been less willing to dive into the Zoom pool. And that's some concern because, as we talked at the beginning of the program, you know, the importance of reaching out and maintaining that social and intellectual connection with others. And if they're not able to connect and do stuff with us, they're losing that right now. And that's a little troubling.
Now, let's talk a little bit about my favorite part of the show when we
okay.
discuss this. It's the new classes. I know okay. that we've had to reimagine how these are offered to the community, and there's all obviously some new ideas born of that. Tell me a little bit about some of the new offerings that are coming this semester.
Okay, the with the Moorhead Group, we don't have a lot of classes this semester, just because of the challenge of finding people willing to do classes and to be able to format it for Zoom. But one of the things we're doing, somebody suggested we take a look at TED Talks. I know a lot of people have probably looked at least a few of the TED Talks videos. And so what we're going to do is have everybody watch several of the videos. Most of them are pretty short. We're going to target videos that are between 20 and 30 minutes, maybe shorter. If we look at some short ones, we may watch too, and then talk about the ideas that is brought up in that program. That's probably the only truly new program we're doing right now. Others are reformatting previous classes, like the TV Talk is reformatting Russ Brennan's classic movie series, and Fran's Shakespeare class, which is about Henry V this time. She taught that in person. I don't remember which play she did when she did it in person, but she did one in Zoom last fall that went rather well. So we really only had the one new, truly new class this time. Unfortunately, we have talked with people several people who have indicated if things get a little more normal, where we can get together in the traditional setting in the fall, several people have indicated that they would really like to provide a class for us. So we're kind of holding our breath and hoping.
So tell me a little bit about the class that you're going to be teaching this semester.
Okay. I'm doing two classes. One is I'm facilitating the TV Talk class for everybody. And again, it will probably be mostly classic movies on KET, since everyone should have access to that. And then perhaps some documentaries, depending on what, maybe, for example, on Nova, or if all the participants have access to something else, like Netflix or cable TV or whatever. We just kind of have to find out the commonality for everyone as to what platform they have to be able to watch movies or documentaries or whatever. And then the other one that I'm facilitating is the TED Talks class that we talked about earlier.
Yes, that's going to be very interesting. I've been watching some TED Talks for one of the classes that I'm taking this semester, and sometimes they're really, really engaging. I've enjoyed it so far. Tell me a little bit about cost associated. I know that these classes often don't have a fee, but there you have to become a member.
Yes, there is a membership fee, and I'm trying to look that up. I'm thinking it's $25 for Moorhead members, and then most of the classes Well, any of the shared interest groups, like Great Decisions, the nonfiction books, TED Talks falls under a SIG and TV Talk. None of those have a class fee associated with them. Fran Shakespeare's Henry V course and the Traveling Around the World course both had $20 fees associated with them.
That isn't a lot for a class, and really, I feel like the individuals are benefiting in such a way in order to participate and just not be as isolated. Isolation is a big issue with the pandemic. There's a lot of people who are feeling very disconnected from the community, and I am glad we have the opportunity to share this information in order for people to have the chance to plug in, even if it is in a non-traditional kind of way.
Yeah, and for some people, if there is a little bit of a financial challenge, there are some, I guess, scholarship maybe opportunities. Again, people can call the Ollie office at UK and ask them about the forms to fill out for that. One of our former board members who passed away last year, Claudia Hicks, it was very important to her that people have the opportunity to take as many classes as they wanted to. And so I guess a scholarship has been set up in her name so that if somebody would like to take more classes than they feel that they can comfortably afford, this scholarship will give them the opportunity to take additional classes.
And just one more time before we close out the show today, tell us a little bit about how people get signed up, where to call, or where to go online.
Okay. To register online, they can go to the website uky.augustsoft, augustsoft.net, or call the office at 859-257-2656. Or you could just do a Google search for Ollie at UK, and one of the links there will take you directly to the site.
Wonderful. Drew Henderson with the OSHAR Lifelong Learning Institute, I really appreciate you spending time with us today.
Leanne, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with your audience.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.